And we have two readings this morning, one from Luke and the second one from Philippians. So look at Luke chapter 11. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Second reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus."
Put the slides back up again. Yes, the same one, yeah. So, we looked at how to pray. We've done the hand prayers, the balloon prayers. So now we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at what's behind prayer. Sort of the context, the foundation, the background, and the origins. And we'll be covering most of those one way or another this morning. So looking at the biblical origins, prayer is portrayed in the Bible as a direct form of communication between us and God. That's you, me as individuals, and God. And prayers can broadly be interpreted to include petition, praise, thanksgiving, which all in turn reflect the diverse aspect and nature of our faith and worship. And looking at both the Old and the New Testament, prayers are found through both of those, and they highlight the foundational role in both Jewish and Christian belief, culture, and society. Significance of prayer? Prayer is that connection between God and his believers. and it fosters a deep spiritual bond. Indeed, it is the anchor in our daily lives. Prayer acts as a channel of grace, offering spiritual support and, in a sense, divine favour. We as individuals invite God's presence into our daily lives. And prayer helps us to align our will with God's purpose. And prayer should be the compass in our lives. And who better to model our prayer life on than Jesus? Jesus frequently prayed in different occasions and different times with different people, and sometimes on his own. And it showed the importance of connecting with the Father in all aspects of life. Not just the good stuff, but everything. A bit more detail on the types of prayer. Not that we necessarily do this in our church, but you can have very structured forms of prayer in other denominations, from sort of high church down to low church. And they tend to follow established formats and are consistent across different worship services, maybe even across different countries as well. Communal worship. These prayers are typically recited collectively together during worship gatherings. And then you have examples of the more formal prayers. The Lord's Prayer, which we've just used. And Psalms tend to be used across many denominations. Just two examples of personal and spontaneous type prayers. Spontaneous are the ones that arise naturally from events, things that are happening in life, or emotions. They don't necessarily have a fixed structure or formality. And some may be described as arrow prayers. That's where you pray straight to God, quick, sharp, one-liners, or just one word, something that comes on your heart. And looking at the more traditional personal prayers, these are prayers that deepen the relationship with God and the believer through ongoing, regular communication between the two. The key there being regular, ongoing communication. Probably touched on those before. We have intercessory prayers, we have thanksgiving prayers, and we have prayers of confession. All covering different areas in life, different people. And acknowledging in the latter case our weaknesses and the need of forgiveness. Looking at prayers that can happen within church services, we have the corporate prayer. And that's, in this church, we tend to do that through our bi-monthly meetings. And also, we have our online, we have two sessions through Zoom on a Tuesday and Wednesday, where you can plug in as much as you wish to. And again, it's about bringing people together in a shared spiritual experience. Again, there's just a little bit about the different prayer forms. Some are slightly different, but the overall aim is to enrich the individual and to have a positive spiritual experience within services. And then we have the more formal liturgical prayers, which for some people is provides them that comfort. It provides a rhythm and meaning through the worship service, and especially in the Anglican and Church of England, you'll find set patterns for particular days which will be used across the country, in this country, and they will have set patterns of liturgy for certain events as well. A little bit about traditions now. So what it does tend to do is strengthen the bonds between families and communities, and creates that sense of unity and a shared faith. It also helps to pass on traditions from one generation to the next. what we do in church or in your own lives is quite likely to be passed on to your children and the way you do things. And then when it comes to celebrations, it does tend to give a sense of belonging and reinforces our cultural heritage and the similarities we have in our lives. A few headings on devotional practices by the individual, daily devotions, meditation, and contemplative prayer. A little bit on prayer practices. We've talked about spontaneous prayer and meditation, but the one I was really looking at is the top one there, is direct personal communication. In the nonconformist and Protestant churches, we focus on direct and personal communication with God without any additional intermediaries. So each of us can pray to God without having to go through a priest. If you just take the slides down now, please, Alan. Just take the slides down. I'll come back to them in a minute or two. So that was just a very quick run through of some of the background behind prayer and how it's developed and originated in the church. Prayer is a deeply personal and spiritual experience. At its core, it's a way of communicating with God. But it's not just about asking for things, presenting requests. It's about building a relationship, listening for his voice, and responding to his leading. The spiritual discipline of consistent prayer helps us to stay connected to our Father. It helps us come into alignment with God's will and teaches us how to rely on him in our daily lives. In Christianity, prayer is seen as a relational act, like speaking with a loving parent. It's not reserved for special people, special places. It's open to anyone with an open heart. Prayer isn't some sort of magic formula, or if you like, a slot machine, where you say a prayer, and hey presto, out pops the result. It's more like a spiritual lifeline. Whether whispered in solitude or spoken aloud in community, it's a way to align your heart, reflect, and connect with God. As we read in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, present yourselves, present your requests to God. The concept of confession of sin to a priest or someone in religious authority or hierarchy is nowhere taught in the New Testament. Interesting, the New Testament teaches in Peter that all believers are priests and describes believers as a holy priesthood and a royal priesthood. In Revelation, believers are described as a kingdom of priests. Whereas if you compare with the Old Testament, the faithful then had to approach God through the priests. The priests were mediators between the people and God. The priests offered sacrifices to God on behalf of the people. In the New Testament, when Jesus was alive, that's no longer necessary. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, we can now approach God, approach his throne, with boldness. The temple veil, tearing in two at Jesus' death, was symbolic of the dividing wall between God and humanity being destroyed. We can approach God directly ourselves without the use of a human mediator. Why? Because Jesus Christ is described in Hebrews as our great high priest, the only mediator between us and God. Prayer is the primary way for the believer in Christ to communicate their emotions and desires with God and to have fellowship with him. I suppose in terms of a definition,
Christian prayer in the New Testament means a prayer addressed to God as Father, in the name of Christ the Son as Mediator, and through the enabling grace of the indwelling Spirit. As we've read, Paul wrote, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Worry about nothing, pray about everything. It's easily said, perhaps more difficult to put into practice. Everything, absolutely everything? Yes, God wants to talk to us, talk to him about everything. Like an ongoing conversation, a conversation with a friend, not just a one-off, one that continues, maybe when life is difficult. We can pray in the good times and the not so good times. Tell him all that's going on in your life, the struggles and the good stuff. So how often should we pray? We should keep a running conversation going with God all day long. There are many resources to help us with this. And resources, one thing we're not short of when it comes to prayer. You've got books, there's pamphlets. If you search the internet, you'll find lots of information there. Bible study, apps for the phone, acronyms to help, ACTS, stop, pray, specific prayer events, retreats, prayer walking, pray together individually, prayer partners, prayer triplets, small groups, larger corporate events, online and Zoom meetings. And you could even check your progress with a prayer journal, which is something you need to keep up to date with. Maybe a time of day, special place, an alarm set as a daily prayer reminder. Any of these may help to become more consistent in prayer. To plagiarize a well-known sports brand advert, you should just do it. Just pray. We can pray under any and all circumstances. Genuine prayer develops our relationship with God and demonstrates our trust and utter dependence on him. We pray to praise God, to thank him, to tell him how much we love him. We pray to enjoy his presence and tell him what is going on in our lives. We pray to make requests and seek guidance and ask for wisdom. God loves us, this exchange with his children, just as we love the exchange we have with our own children. Fellowship with God is at the heart of prayer. Too often we lose sight of how simple prayer is really supposed to be, and we can make it terribly complicated. It's you and God. When we make petitions and requests to God, we let God know exactly where we stand and what we'd like to see happen. In our prayers, we must admit that God is greater than we are and ultimately knows what is best in any given situation. God is good, and he asks us to trust him. In prayer, we say essentially, "Not my will, but your will be done." The key to answer prayer is praying according to the will of God, in accordance with his word. Prayer is not seeking your own will, but seeking to align ourselves with the will of God more fully. Many options, many things out there to help us pray. But why do some of us find it so difficult to pray consistently? Are we just getting ourselves sorted out in our own strength before we approach God? I'm not quite ready to talk to God about this or that. And these thoughts often underpin our relationship with God. Lives just too busy. Some of the most promising and spectacular words ever spoken by God are found in the book of Jeremiah. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. Sometimes in a quest for finding God, it appears that he wants to remind us of this extraordinary promise. Seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. But often, all we hear in reply is a silence. A silence so deafening it drowns out every thought. God isn't listening. So we ask, where is God? Where is he in all of this? Has God abandoned me? No sense of any reply. In the Old Testament, there are numerous examples of cries for help to the Lord God from those who earnestly seek him. The prayer of the psalmist communicates the heart of someone focused on finding God. O God, do not keep silent. Be not quiet. O God, be not still. At times, finding God seems difficult, even for those who have a relationship with him. Changes in life bring it uncertainty. The loss of a job, a divorce, a job promotion, the birth of a child, loss of a loved one. And you could add countless other situations to that. Some have referred to these as unexpected changes in life, life-changing moments, calling them divine interruptions. Even when the change is positive, it can interrupt our feelings of well-being and leave us feeling alone and isolated. The question arises, where is God anyway? Why am I having such a difficult time finding God? It's important to remember that in finding God, the promise of Jeremiah is never negated by our subjective feelings. Just because we feel that God is far from us doesn't mean that he is. In Hebrews, he has told us that he will never leave us or forsake us. It's good to remind ourselves that we walk by faith and not by sight. When we think of the many times God has intervened in our lives, our own personal experience in the form of answered prayer, we are reminded of his faithfulness. As I indicated earlier, some people find it helpful to keep a journal of answered prayer that they can refer back to in the time, those dry times of doubt and confusion. The key is meditating and studying God's word, and it is the only sure way to come to a right conclusion about God. As we embark on the never-ending quest to find God in every single day, we remember and meditate on his mighty words, and we welcome those divine interruptions. Throughout all of this, let us not forget that there is a spiritual dimension running through all of this. The spiritual battle we are in day by day. To remind ourselves that we are engaged in a spiritual battle at a spiritual level. We need to be aware, be vigilant, be prepared. The point of all this is to show that the ultimate authority and our ultimate spiritual weapon is his word as contained in Scripture. Not cleverly constructed intellectual arguments. His word as contained in Scripture. Can we have the slides back up again, please? And we'll get to where we need to be. So what's the effect of prayer? There are
moments of spiritual growth and transformation, you have a deepened relationship with God. And that in turn enriches your spiritual journey. Believers can experience a transformation, changes from within. And these are helped and assisted by dedicated prayer practices. Spiritual development. Prayer can help with the gifting that we have or that we wish to have. Things like patience, humility and love in our daily lives. So prayer can help with challenges and when we need guidance. Sometimes we can receive strength through prayer when you're facing difficult situations. It can provide hope in uncertain times. And it can also provide clarity and guidance if you're at the crossroads in your life, needing to make decisions. And within the church and the local community, it again builds this sense of unity. And can bring that unity between the community and church members. And associated with that is the sort of the encouragement of mutual care. It encourages people to get to know each other, develop those relationships, and provide the care and support, strengthening and deepening those relationships. Conclusion? I was going to leave the conclusion up to yourselves as to where you think you've got in your prayer life. It's an ongoing thing. It doesn't just stop when you walk out the door. Only you know where you are. If there are areas in your life that you need to present to God and admit that you're having difficulties with. We please God when we obey his word and not human traditions. We honour him when our words and actions reflect what we truly believe in our hearts. Jesus said that the religious pretenders honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. May we be true worshippers who honour, love and obey the Lord with our whole hearts, souls, minds and strength. May we express our devotion to God in words that truly reflect our inner convictions. Amen.